Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. Two men and a six pack listeners to the 40th episode of Two Men and a Six Pack. And we got some back feed going on here, Bobby. That's all right. That's all right. We got a full house
it's real.
Tonight.
It's legit.
Because this is a special night. We got a got guests in the house because tonight is the first night of the Two Men and a Six Pack Listener Appreciation Awards. We will get to that later, but we're going to start with all our guests. We got Mr. Morton right here. We got
Flood.
Mr. Flood. Hell, he looks like Elijah's son. No, I'm just messing with you. We got Nick Kraft here, Douglas Snodgrass. We got Bobby Mills. We got me who put foot in mouth. We got Trevor, my man, back.
Steve Humphrey over here.
Steve Humphrey. Steve Kellum. We got Bob Mills. We got Andy. I don't know Andy's last name, so I can't screw that
Fisher.
Up.
He's a board.
He's a board, too.
We can keep it on our first name.
I remember when I took acid for the first time. Yeah.
So I want to thank Twin Peaks, even though they did not provide the food tonight, because we are doing this listener appreciation event. But we always will thank Twin Peaks and Mike Brandon, because they have been there from the beginning. The also-rans are trying to get in on this good stuff we got going on. We're not going to give them a time of day. We also want to thank SportsCarolinaMonthly.com for in-depth daily coverage of the Panthers, Hornets, and the ACC. They are broadcasting this show and redistributing this show all over the state of North Carolina for us right now, for y'all that did not know that. So, let's get going. Here we go. Birthdays today. Crack that beer, baby. Perfect timing. 1953, Hall of Fame racehorse trainer, Bob Baffert. That dude had really white hair.
I have no idea who that is.
You don't know who that is? No. Bob Baffert, Triple Crown winner. He's won two Triple Crowns in 15 and 18. I legitimately consider being a horse trainer would be a really cool job.
Why?
Because you get to basically, well, there's a rapid fire question.
Do you have to be as small as a jockey?
I always wanted to be a jockey.
I always wanted to be a jockey too, but I sized out when I was born, actually. So anyway, 1961, that's legitimately the only famous sports person born that day, and he's really not that famous. 1961, actress Julia Louise Dreyfus. Oh. Best known for her role as Ellen.
I love Ellen.
In Seinfeld. And also
Elaine.
She was
Elaine.
I'm killing names tonight, aren't I?
It's live. It's really pressure's getting to you.
And she's also sneaky good as Celine Myers in HBO's Veep.
Yes, she is.
Sneaky good in that show. If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. If you don't have HBO, steal the password and username from somebody and take some money out of HBO's pockets. Just kidding. Bad day for birthdays. So I'm going to call these names out. Jalen Brooks, Jack Barron, Elliot Crawford, Robin Burrell, Gabrielle Score, Christine Slough, Harold Azura, Rifty. He's a one name. Floral Sophie. Does anybody know who these people are?
They never won a Super Bowl.
Never won Super Bowl, but anybody knows has anybody heard of any of those people?
No.
They are YouTube stars, and their birthday was mentioned as listed under celebrities' famous birthdays. Nice. Have you? So, we got a rapid fire question about this. Somebody at this table in the next 60 days, we're going to pump them and going to get them on to be a YouTube star. We're going to get like 2 million followers to somebody sitting at this table. And so next year at this time, we can say that your birthday is today, and you are a YouTube star. So y'all just keep that in mind. Here we go. This date in sports: 1962, Philadelphia center Wilt Chamberlain scores 73 points in his team's 135-117 win over Chicago. At the time, 73 points was the most scored in an NBA regulation game, and remains tied right now for the third highest of all time. Even more impressive was Wilt scoring later that night in the hotel. He went three for three in the suite at the Plaza Hotel in the Windy City.
Andy Fisher was coaching him up then.
Andy Fisher was coaching him up. 1999, this day in sports, your man, the second greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, announces his second retirement just prior to the start of the lockout-shortened 98-99 NBA season. Jordan would later return to the hardwood in 2001 with the
Wizards.
Washington Wizards.
Did you say second best
player? Second best player of all time.
He thinks LeBron is the best player.
No, we're voting on pizza tonight. We're voting on pizza tonight. We're not voting.
I thought he joined Space Jam after that. Was that before?
Yeah, that was
when did he try to hit a curveball?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was retirement.
That was between the retirements.
That was first retirement.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk NFL playoffs. So let's talk Saturday's games if you really want to. Colts Chiefs, as good as the Colts were last week, that's how bad they were yesterday. So
how great Chiefs played.
Well, you know, so check this out. Everybody talked about how good the Colts defense was supposed to be. The Chiefs kind of carved them up. Everybody was kind of downplaying the Chiefs defense. The Colts were held scoreless by the Chiefs defense until 5.5 minutes to go in the game. Now, they scored a touchdown, but it was on a punt block. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew Luck threw a touchdown to T.Y. Hilton. The big stat of the whole game, the Colts were 0-9 on third downs.
Wow.
If you do not convert on third downs,
no shot.
You're normally punting. So
that's true.
Good punt. Unless you go for it. Yeah.
Or your name's Nick Saban.
Or your name's Nick Saban. Yeah. And you go for it. Colts. My homeboy, he was an efficient 27 for 41, 278 yards, zero TDs. The Chiefs, they ran the ball on them. I mean, they pounded the ball. They kept Andrew Luck and the offense off the field. And when Andrew Luck and them did get on the field, they didn't do anything. Does anybody have any questions, comments, concerns? I mean,
it wasn't a good game. It was just total domination.
It was horrible.
Yeah, it was boring.
The only good game so far is the one that we're not watching.
That we're not watching right now. You're exactly right.
Thank you for setting that up, Andy.
I appreciate that. Damn, Andy. The only good game is probably the one that Pittsburgh's not playing in right now. I'm just messing with you. All right, here we go. So the nightcap, the boys versus the Rams. It was a better game than the earlier game. Even though the score kind of, it was a one-score game, you never really felt like Dallas was in the game.
No.
L.A. rushed for a franchise playoff record 273 yards.
Crazy.
Dominated the vaunted Cowboy defense that had kind of carried them for the whole season. They had 2 100-yard rushers. Mm-hmm. C.J. Anderson, 123 and 2 touchdowns. And Tar Burrows, Todd Gurley, 115 and 1 TD. Most yards Dallas has given up all season on the ground. Dallas's offense wasn't a problem. Mm-hmm. When they got the ball, Prescott threw for 266 and a touchdown, and he rushed for a touchdown. Elliott scored a touchdown. Of course, he only rushed for 47 yards. Again, the Rams defense kind of stepped. The Rams defense has been spotty this whole season.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of high priced players, but they've been spotty. The big stat that I like to convey to all the Cowboy fans out there, and I know you're a Pittsburgh fan, so you don't like the Cowboys. Is that?
I'm okay. They're NFC.
Okay.
It's the Pats that.
Okay.
I'll get in.
Well, yeah, but that's jealousy, Andy. That's
right. Jealousy. No, we got 6 rings. They got 5.
Okay.
The McPatriots?
The McPatriots. Dallas has not won a playoff game on the road in 26 years.
Wow. So does Jason Garrett, is it gone? Or does
actually a rapid-fire question. I've got a rapid-fire question because it has surfaced this week that Garrett's going to be up for a contract extension, actually. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
I don't think Jerry's going to get
in. So we'll see what happens. Today's game, Sunday's games. Chargers at New England. This game was over when the Chargers got off the plane. 0-8 versus Tom Brady now, Phillip Rivers. I hate New England, I hate Bill Belichick, and I hate Tom Brady. Now, I hate Phillip Rivers because he and the Chargers and their defense, they laid an egg. They rolled over and they let New England spank their ass.
They scored the first four times Texas football, right? I know the first four.
Yeah, first four. And as good as the Patriots have been in the past years in the playoffs, that's the first time that they've ever done that in the playoffs.
Most points in the first half, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say one thing this year I've really noticed. Sometimes the wild card teams can kind of get in a hot streak and go scare somebody after a bye week. But this year, every game, the team that had the week off are coming out just fired up and, like, totally controlling the game right from the kickoff. Outside of the Saints
game. The Saints game.
Plus they're home.
But I'm just talking about manhandling the other team. Where
at the very beginning, like, yeah. It wasn't even close. No game was a good game, kind of like the college championship.
Yeah.
Well, the Chargers had to go from Baltimore to L.A.
What do you think about that? So if you would have been the Chargers, would you have stayed out on the East Coast? Just found somewhere to, I mean, you got enough money to rent enough hotel rooms or whatever. Would you have stayed on the East Coast?
You got two travel days out of a 7-day week, too, and they played less.
They played less on the sea. The
Chargers, yeah, but I'm sure they still got there 3 or 4 days in advance.
Yeah, so yeah. You're still talking about, you're still wasting 2 days of your week.
At the same time, they're taking a private plane
from
one airport to another. It's not like me going to L.A. where I have to stop at this airport and then wait 3 hours.
You don't think they got a bus?
Oh, you don't think the Madden bus?
Or Bobby and me would have to stop and pee like 27 times a day.
Either one.
I think it's a time zone issue. I mean, like, even Phil Rivers, when they won last week, he said, we'll go play them at 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was there 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I think
it's a pure time zone.
I think just New England's better.
And they have
arguably the greatest coach in history. I don't like him at all.
And they have the greatest quarterback in history.
Screw both of them.
Oh, really? Really? one of the top best quarterbacks.
The coach is more dominant. I mean, just quarterback. I agree. Would you say with that? The coach is more dominant than the quarterback.
Yes.
Bill Belichick's more dominant.
The coaching game plan of the Patriots game was the biggest difference in that game.
My only refute to that was, we don't know what Tom Brady would do without Bill Belichick, but we do know what Bill Belichick would do without Tom Brady. They made the playoffs that 1 year. Mm-hmm. They got, who was it, Matt Castle? He made Matt Castle a lot of damn money, but they didn't win.
And Jimmy Garoppolo made him a lot of money,
but too. They didn't win the Super Bowl. I mean, so Bill Belichick's a good coach. Is he a great? I mean, yeah. He's a great coach. Don't get me wrong. Who benefits? You know, from, I think they both benefit from each other. Yeah. To say, yeah, I don't know. You put Tom Brady on the Colts, you know, my man, I don't know.
Tony Dungy was there in the Colts now.
Yeah. All I know is that I hate the Patriots. I hate Belichick. I hate the Patriots, and I hate Tom Brady.
I don't like
Belichick. So, I agree.
Amen, bro.
So, I like Tom Brady. He's got a pretty hot wife.
I like Brady.
You like Brady?
Yeah, he's great. Underdog story.
Okay. I respect him.
Well, I don't like him, so that's all.
He only started 1 year in college.
Yeah. And when he, you know, when you watch the highlights of him running at the combine, it gives you hope that you might not be the geekiest white person to ever run. I mean, he looked like he lumbered. If I had video of me and you when we played rec basketball,
yeah,
that's probably how you and I looked running out of the court. We were lumbering.
Well, that's why we should like Tom Brady.
Of course, if you're holding the camera and it was on the and it was holding, and you and I were running, the camera would be probably going crazy because we were shaking.
You and I should love Tom Brady. He's arguably the only quarterback we could actually outrun.
Probably so. You're right.
Or run with.
Yeah. All right. So talking about the best game going on this weekend that we're missing, Eagles Saints. The current score is the Eagles 14, the Saints 20, with how much time left?
9:52.
So we will definitely get to the end of this game before we go off the air tonight. The Eagles popped out to a 14-0 lead, I think. The Saints battled back, and it's just been a really good. It's just been a really good game. I like the Eagles. I'm pulling for the Eagles. I'm just not a Saints guy, because I guess NFC South and being a Panthers guy, I'm just not a Saints person. I like Drew Brees if he played in another team in another division, but I'm going for the Pats. I mean, for the Eagles, much like I'm probably going for the that's something you'll never hear me say. Going for the Pats.
Struggle bus.
Anyway, yeah, and I haven't been drinking anything tonight. That's the crazy thing.
That's the problem.
Anyway, yeah. So other NFL news this week. This week the theme in the NFL has been no experience, no problem. So 6 of the 8 coaching vacancies have been filled this week. And the other two, the Dolphins and the Bengals, they have their guys. They just can't officially announce it because the teams are playing. And that's the Pats, Brian Flores, the Dolphins, and the Bengals. And Zach Taylor is going from the Bengals. They're not still playing, but they haven't officially announced it yet. So of all the new coaches, only two have previous head coaching experience. Tampa's Bruce Arians and why he went to Tampa to coach Jameis Winston. I have no clue.
Really?
And the Jets' Adam Gase, who I really don't understand that because he couldn't win with the Dolphins, who I felt like was better than the Jets, and now he's going to the Jets. So,
and no one's hired Mike McCarthy yet.
No, well, Mike McCarthy has been said that he is now going to sit out this next year.
He's
going
to go to a fat farm, I think.
Yeah, he's going to try to drop it. He's going to do a little what's the dude's name that coached the –
heavyweights?
The Giants and the Cowboys. Bill Giants. Parcells. He's going to do a Bill Parcells and going to NutriSwiss system it or something like that and come back lean and mean. So you got Matt LaFleur going to Green Bay, Cliff Kingsbury going to Arizona, and then Flores and Taylor. All of them are in their 30s. This is interesting. Freddie Kitchen is also the Browns' new head coach. He's had 2 months worth of play calling. He's, I guess, in his early 40s. But LaFleur, Kingsbury, Flores, and Taylor are all in their 30s. Denver, on the other hand, went in the opposite direction. They had hired a guy who was defense coordinator for the Bears, Vic Fangio.
75.
Who was 86 years old.
I think he graduated with my grandfather.
Yeah. So Flores and Vanginio, or however you say his name, they're the only two defensive coaches. The other six are all offense. There's this Sean McVay theory going around. Every team is trying to find the next Sean McVay. They're trying to find the next quarterback whisperer. So they're trying to find coaches in their 30s that are offensive minded, that can relate to the younger players. I want to get y'all's thoughts on that. So tell me y'all's thoughts on that.
I'll say this, and I actually had a conversation about this earlier in the week. Nothing to do with football, but it came up about like the changes in the teaching profession of being able to discipline kids and stuff like that. And what has it been, maybe past 15, 20 years, like what a teacher can do with a child is totally different. So the kids that are coming out of college are used to not being disciplined. So like the old school Chuck Knoll, Bill Parcells, these guys that would get in your face and basically bully you around until you succumb to what they wanted to do, you can't fly with that anymore. So now it's like more, it seems like it's more of who are they going to get along with? Who's going to be
their buddy?
Who's cool? And maybe there's something to that.
Well, they have buddies. They need discipline. Bill Belichick still seems to get it done, and I think he's a hard ass. You know.
I mean, I think Sean McVay's not a wuss. I think Sean McVay's a very disciplined coach, too. I mean, I think Kingsbury's the most interesting pick out of all, though.
That's been the whole rub this whole week.
Got fired.
Fired, losing record. He has a shitload of bills because he damn took a job at USC as offensive coordinator, I guess, to pay his damn bills quickly to start drawing that paycheck. And then he started getting interest from the NFL. And that's what I'm saying, the Sean McVay experience. I don't know if you heard, but in the press conference where they introduced Cliff Kingsbury. Now, why you would do this, I mean, this is crazy. They said they went through his career highlights and accolades and everything like that. And they said, and he's a really good friend. This is what they said. And he's a really good friend of Sean McVay. Now, why would you say that in the press? They're trying to kind of tie these two guys together, and you know, Kingsbury and this thing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Kingsbury, you know, obviously played a hand in crafting Baker Mayfield, played a hand in crafting Patrick Mahomes, played a hand, and who was the third one that he had that he played a hand in crafting?
Was it Kyler Murray too?
I don't know if it was Kyler Murray. I think it was another. I can't remember who it was. Anyway, he's going to have his hands full trying to craft Josh Rosen.
Yeah, get rid of
we that. Will see what happens that. With that. So let's see what happens. So last bit of NFL news is actually going to serve as a great segue for us. Does anyone know who the official pizza sponsor is of the NFL?
Pizza Hut.
Does anybody know who the official pizza sponsor was before Pizza Hut?
Papa John's.
So Papa John's founder back in the mid-17 when all this stand-up, sit-down, national anthem crap was going on, he kind of was doing a quarterly phone call update with all his investors and pretty much blamed the NFL and the way they were handling things for the flat sales of pizza. He pretty much blamed the NFL on not handling the debacle between the owners and the players. Shortly after the season ended, the NFL said, we'll see. We don't need your money. Mm-hmm. And that didn't last long because the next day, Pizza Hut was the official sponsor of the NFL. So, with that, we are entering into a monumental segment here on the show. The Two Men and a Six-Pack Listener Appreciation Awards. And it's a showdown tonight. That's all I can say. It's a slap-dab showdown. Who's got the best pizza in town? So our two contestants, so we put this out on Facebook. We talked about it last week here on the podcast. And we asked for you, the listeners and the viewers, to tell us who had the best pizza in town. And what we end up coming up with are two contestants. We got the multi-billion dollar franchise, Hungry Howie's, which is the local franchise owner of Matt Cross and his family, versus a little old pizza shop called Abruzio's.
So with two locations, both have two locations.
Both serve some very good food. Before the podcast started tonight, we did a little taste sampling, and so we're just going to get at it, and we're just going to talk about it. So, and we're going to go around.
We did. We ate it.
But we're going to now grade it.
Okay.
Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you should be cooking hamburgers, to 10, pretty damn good.
The Michelangelo pizza.
The Michelangelo pizza. That would be the Dean Smith of pizzas. Okay. We're going to rate. Let's rate this as we go. And I'm going to record these numbers. What we have here?
Bad static.
Static is rough.
Let's see if we can fix that.
Let's see if we can fix the roughness of the static. Is that any better, guys? Your much is bad. Your mic is bad. Is it any better? It could be this daisy chain of cords that we got together. We may have to check all of our stats here. Someone's mic is real bad. I think Steve has interference. Okay, it's going to be this mic right here. So I tell you what, let's undo it. Just undo it, and we'll
just talk out loud.
We'll just talk. Nicholas, let's pull it out of the back of the phone.
Pull it closer.
You want to disconnect it?
Yeah, just disconnect the bottom of it.
Guys are working through this live feed. Don't worry.
We're working through this live feed while we're doing this. This is the first time we're trying this.
We're prepping our pizza notes.
How about now? Okay.
That Morgan guy knows something about.
So we're going to be really low in volume right now, so we're just going to have to figure it out and go. So here we go. Here we go. So if you can't hear, you can see us.
He says it still has static.
Still has static.
We can pull it up closer and just unplug it.
Yeah, but it's unplugged. There should be no static in that. That's what I'm not getting. Oh, hey, unplug it from the bottom of there, man. Yeah, now let's see. Hold on. We're fixing it.
Nicholas doing a selfie. You just pull some boxes and we'll...
Pull some boxes up and we'll fix it. Well, you can put... Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We can use the pizza boxes.
Hey, don't hold it sideways, though. You got to hold it... Hold it like that. Aren't you looking at yourself now, though? Or did you reverse? Okay. All right. Here we go. Scale of 1 to 10. Professionalism of the person who answered the phone when we placed the order. Andy, can you... You have to refrain from that because you did not place an order, correct?
I did not place the order.
Bob, did you place an order?
No.
Trevor, did you place an order?
No.
I placed an order with Matt Cross over the phone via text, and his professionalism was a 10. Bobby... Did you place the order with Ambrosio's?
I did place the order over the phone, and they did a great job, so they were a 10.
They were a 10 also, okay. Mr. Plud, you'll have to refrain.
Mr. Morton,
you'll have to refrain as well. And Nick, you didn't. Okay, so next one. The professionalism of the person who delivered the pizzas. Bobby, you answered the door for both of them.
Ambrosio's. I answered for Ambrosio's, and actually I knew the guy who dropped it off, Lucas Hansen.
Is that a plus or a minus?
That's a plus.
Okay, so
he works with Mr. Morton over here.
Okay.
He works with Mr. Plus.
So what's the verdict?
I mean 10. Straight 10. Up 10.
Hey, you answered the door.
I had it for
Hungry Howie's.
I'm going to give him a 10.
10. Oh.
Like we had to tip him, and I only had a big bill, and he was ready with change, and I mean, he was prepared. Let's go.
Good Andy deal. Did try. We're trying to find change for his 20, so I asked Jason if he had a 10 to give to him.
Okay.
So I thought that was pretty
nice. Awesome. Next, the presentation of the pizza, the overall display of the pizza in the box before we dug into it.
And we took photos of it.
Okay. Yeah. Nick, you start off.
Presentation? I mean, Hungry Howie's always has a
great presentation. So who had a better presentation? Hungry Howie's or Ambrosio's?
I'd probably go Hungry Howie's in presentation. All right.
Jason?
I would agree with Hungry Howie's. I like the color.
I like the color.
Pizza Hut's a little lame looking. It's been the same look for years. So I like Hungry Howie's.
Bobby?
You know, I think the one thing about Hungry Howie's, he had too much sauce around the outside or too much seasoning around the outside of the Hungry Howie's. I think Ambrosio's kept together and had no pizza touching the top of the box, where Cross's did.
Interesting. I'm going with my man, Matt Cross at Hungry Howie's. Trevor?
Going with Ambrosio's.
You're going with Ambrosio's. Mm-hmm. Bob?
I got to go with Hungry Howie's because I think the kid on the box is like George Jetson's son.
I totally agree. Better presentation. All right.
Future's looking bright.
Next, the mixture of sauce to cheese to toppings. Now, we had a discussion about this, as is, Nick, and not adding any extra marinara sauce. Who would you vote had the best mixture of cheese to sauce to topping ratio?
Well, preferably I love a lot of sauce, personally, but...
Okay, this is just a simple Hungry Howie's or Ambrosio's question.
There's a comment section later, Nick.
Okay. Yeah, you go with Hungry Howie's.
I gotta go with Hungry Howie's.
Hungry Howie's. Bob? B?
I would say Matt had a chicken banger ranch and a meat pizza.
Yes.
The chicken banger ranch was a better ratio. The meat pizza wasn't. And then Ambrosio's, I would do one chicken bacon, two Ambrosio's, three meat. Because we had three pizzas.
So who won?
So Matt wins number one.
Matt wins.
But his other one comes in third.
All right. I'm going with my man, Matt Cross, Hungry Howie's.
I'm going Hungry Homies.
You're going Hungry Homies. Yeah. Bob?
HH.
HH.
Originally, it was HH, but I've actually since changed. I'm going with Ambrosio's.
You're going to Ambrosio's.
A side question for you would be the only one that would know this.
Okay.
It's marinara sauce, but you're thinking marinara sauce because...
And marinara.
Yes.
And marinara.
Yep.
What college did you go to?
Cornell.
Nope. University of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Okay. And he was later what? What did he do? Because he didn't play in the NFL.
Well, oh, yeah. He was on Hill Street Blues.
He was Hill Street Blues, baby.
But do you remember what significance he has in college football also?
No, I do not.
He came in second to the Heisman voting in 1971 to
Joe Theismann.
Pat Sullivan from Auburn. Yeah.
Did not know that.
I never would have guessed that.
Nah, Jason Morton.
Crust. Crust. Who had the best crust?
Hungry
Howie's. And I'll wait, we're going to start with Andy. Come on.
I'm a New York style guy. I'm
so you're going with Ambrosio's?
I'm going with Ambrosio's.
Bob?
Keep it simple.
Man, that cheese crust and Hungry Howie's, I mean, if it was on my arm, I'd eat my arm.
I'm going with the flavored crust.
With the flavored crust.
Hungry Homies.
I'm going with biting into the Meat Lover's pizza, getting to the end of the pizza, and then... The chewy goodness inside the crust, the cheese crust. Got to go with my man, Matt Cross and Hungry Howie's. Bobby.
I got a question. You know, back in the day, Pizza Hut was trying to talk you into eating your pizza backwards with the stuffed crust.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that still a thing right now?
I don't know.
It's not for this guy.
It's not for me.
What you just said, obviously not. But I'm going with Matt Cross and Hungry Howie's.
All right. Flood.
I'm with you, Steve.
It was just a total surprise.
I had no idea it was stuffed crust
and then bam.
With cheese, and bam, it hits you.
Bam.
And booyah. That's right.
Awesome. Kapowee.
So, with all due respect to Hungry Howie's, I just started the Slim Fast diet.
Yeah, well, what you ate, whether you ate Ambrosio's or that, none of it was good for you.
We do have
you could eat the cardboard box.
We do have a Hungry Howie's diet plan that includes the Hungry Howie's salad and Halo ice cream.
And Halo ice cream.
And Matt Cross can attest to the specifics.
The box has a lot of fiber in it also.
Nick, crust.
If it was a thin crust of Hungry Howie's, I'd go with Hungry Howie's, but I'd go with Ambrosio's.
All right. So, everybody gets a vote. Here it is. I know Ambrosio's is not watching this, but I know Matt Cross is probably standing on pins and needles one night. I know how this shit's going to turn out. So, Andy, Ambrosio's or Hungry Howie's?
Well, under that kind of pressure, it was definitely Hungry Howie's.
Bob.
Yeah, because Matt's probably sitting up here with a trank gun.
Is there a red dot somewhere on my forehead? Right here? Okay.
I really like Ambrosio's, stop by there every now and then and get a slice, but Hungry Howie's just walked away with it.
Trevor?
Today. Hungry Homies won.
Hungry Homies won. Bobby?
I'm going to vote last.
Floyd?
I got to go Hungry Homies.
Hungry Homies.
Yeah.
Nick?
I got to.
Are you going with Ambrosio's? You're going with Ambrosio's, aren't you?
It was tough, but I'm
Facebook. It's all right. So Matt Cross, Hungry Howie's the big winner. But Matt, you get to come back down to reality next week. We are doing boneless wings next week. Boneless wings.
Non-traditional
boneless wings. So everybody that's watching this, everybody that is listening to this, I'll put something out on Facebook tomorrow. Who has the best boneless wings in town?
Any flavor, or is it
any
just
flavor,
regular?
Any flavor you want. Okay. We know. Okay, and for the record, Twin Peaks has the best.
Yeah, they're the pros.
They're
the pros. They're undefeated.
They're the sponsors of this show, so they're in the Hall of Fame.
My face is in this video, so I can say.
Okay, well,
they're professionals. Everybody
else is playing for second place. So
are they even going to be allowed to?
No, they're the automatic winners.
Automatic.
Yeah. They're the retired champions.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like Giselle.
They're like LeBron James, who is still playing, but just pretend that he was retired.
What?
He's the just the best of all time.
I would say more like Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain. That's a better. Okay. So y'all tell us who your best boneless wings could be. Hooters could be. Hungry Howie's has wings, don't
they? Do they have wings?
I think they do. Okay. So
fresh frozen
wings. So we'll see how that goes. So best boneless wings in town next week. All right, moving on. College football national championship. It seemed like a month ago, but it was less than a week ago that Clemson broke out a can of whoop ass.
It was ugly.
44-16, and it wasn't that close.
It was awesome.
How pissed was Nick Saban still right now?
Oh God,
has he slept yet?
I don't know. Clemson played an almost perfect game. I mean, legitimately, an almost perfect game.
Did anyone, like, watching the first quarter and a half, though, think that Alabama was not ever going to get stopped that game?
So.
And then it, like, just whoop.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then it just shifted. And I told them, we were over here watching the game, and I kept thinking, Alabama's going to come back. They're going to just do some crazy shit. Something's going to happen, and they're going to come back. And I kept waiting.
And Clemson just got
punched in the damn face.
Mm. I mean, the end of the game was the craziest thing. That 7.5 minutes to go, and Clemson never gave him the ball back.
Mm. Yeah, they drove. Yeah, they kept possession.
I mean, they just wanted to stop him. Trevor Lawrence
total
just rolled him over. Just whatever they wanted to do.
Dude, that kid as a freshman, I mean, come on.
So, who do you think the better coach is now, right now, today in college football?
Still
is Dabo Sweeney?
Well,
do you think it's Nick Saban?
Well, if I had to coach one game, I would still pick Nick Saban.
Nick Saban has better football players, but Dabo Sweeney.
But Dabo Sweeney has, listen, the difference is, and we talked about this, every year Nick Saban goes in, starts the season, and actually a lot of times starts spring ball with a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator.
True.
This was his third defensive coordinator in 3 years. He had a new first-year offensive coordinator, and his offensive coordinator has left this year. He's going, I think, to Maryland to coach.
Yeah.
But Clemson has the Brett Venable has been offered job after job after job, and he stays with Dabo.
Yeah.
They have co-offensive coordinators that have been there for a while. So, you know, staff-wise, I would take Nick Saban and a seasoned staff over Dabo Sweeney.
Well, playing devil's advocate here, doesn't that just speak to how good of a coach maybe he really is?
Who, Nick Saban?
No, Dabo. Where, like, his other coaches, even though they have opportunity to go make millions elsewhere, like, dude, this is special. This guy is special.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, last Monday night, Dabo Sweeney outcoached Nick Saban.
I don't agree. I mean, I don't disagree that he outcoached him on Monday night. All I'm telling you is that if I had 10 games, I would take Nick Saban.
Point taken.
And he would win more times than he would lose.
And 3 times
against Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think 3 years from now we could have a whole different conversation.
I think Clemson had a better team. I think, okay, and we did this last week. I mean, just looking at how everybody played. I mean, and obviously this is across the board. Better quarterback.
Yeah.
Clemson had a better quarterback. Better running back. Clemson's running backs were better. Well, I don't know.
Alabama
first half rushed the ball.
Yeah.
Teo was going to be a Heisman hopeful.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about it. You're talking about a potential Heisman.
He's the most overrated quarterback in my opinion, that I've ever seen.
Like, he's a great quarterback.
Some of his throws are so.
Well, he just made one bad mistake. Like, but other than that, I mean, you know.
I mean, Alabama still, Clemson could not stop Alabama's running game.
No.
And I think Aaron talks about how it was a blowout, and it was a blowout, but Alabama could not be stopped running the football.
No.
And if Tua doesn't throw an interception at the very beginning, and they take a lead or they score that touchdown, you have a different game, a different complexion. I mean, Alabama had to go for it on fourth down multiple times because they were down. And they kind of took chances that they normally wouldn't have. The game would have been a lot closer, too. So, don't say Clemson was that much better. They were that much better that day, that game.
They were better. Well, I'll tell you this. They were better in the second half. They held Alabama scoreless in the second half.
They played 10 games. I think it would be 5 versus 5 v 5.
I agree with that.
Yep.
I think Dabo's just as good as Nick Saban.
It's just like Greg Popovich versus Brad Stevens.
Oh, no. No one compares to Brad Stevens. No one compares to Brad Stevens.
I mean, it's definitely old guy old versus school, a young. It's definitely not like Coach K versus Brad Williams. I can tell you that straight up.
So this is Clemson's second national championship in 3 years. So let me ask you this. Should Trevor Lawrence now sit out the next 2 years and avoid risking injury so he can be the number one pick in the draft? Should he do it?
I'm sure Trevor would agree that he probably needs to go live in a bubble.
Yeah,
and that way would never get a chance of getting hurt or a hangnail or anything.
If I'm guaranteed $40 million, I'm thinking about it at least.
Okay.
But there's the article. Remember that I sent you guys the article about it?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about it. $40 million dollars is life-changing money.
If I'm 19 years old, I'm going out there playing backyard football.
That's
I'm
exactly not, right.
I mean,
thank you.
This guy is 19 years old.
Dude, he's not thinking about throwing the day. Sunshine, baby. Sunshine.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
I mean, he's got insurance,
Jess
too.
Jess McCauley. I like Jess McCauley better than Sunshine.
Yeah.
Anyway. So check this out. Let me ask y'all this question. Is it possible to have two dynasties in the same sport at one time?
Yes. We're watching. Lakers Celtics.
Okay. We're watching it happen, so the answer is yes.
Lakers Celtics in the 80s.
Clemson, you're right. Clemson, 2 out of the last 3 years. Alabama, 5 since 2017.
Since 2007. And for the record, Steve has not drank a drop tonight.
I have not drank a drop tonight. And maybe that's the problem.
So here's a good question to pose, because we just said that 1 against 2, maybe they split 5 and 5. So let's say that number 3 team plays either of those out of 10. How many does the third best team win against either?
Zero.
That is.
Well, that was.
There is
okay,
a.
Okay, let me. Whoa.
Can I have one of those beers? Because I'm really messing up. I don't care. Pee-wee one has got the most alcohol in it, because hell, I need it, man.
Yeah. That's the double IPA.
But I would say this. I think Oklahoma, now that they've hired a defensive coordinator from Ohio State, it's been interesting to see what occurs with that. I think if Oklahoma can provide somewhat of a defense, they can play with Bama or Clemson. They're the only team that has a chance. The only team that has a chance is Oklahoma.
Okay. Before we get into that, what's that say?
Jai Alive.
Heard it's very hoppy.
Indian Pale Ale, Cigar Brewing. This beer is courtesy of Robert Farley. Coastal Beverage. I'm sure it can be bought only at Lowe's Food here in Jacksonville, because that's whatever hell everything else he's giving us. It can only be bought at Lowe's Food. So check this out. Alabama, 5 national championships since 2007. This stat is even more impressive here. Since 2008, Alabama has spent all or part of each season ranked number one in the nation.
Yes.
That's pretty. Yeah, that is a true stat.
Well, what is their average strength of schedule?
Oh.
Well, it wouldn't matter, the SEC. It wouldn't matter if they played the Sisters of the Damned Poor, Deaf, and Blind. And then,
sorry, I just had to say it.
If they played them 4 times and then played the SEC, their strength of schedule would still be higher than most people's in the country.
Yes, it would.
So you just answered the question.
So who's number one next year is what I thought.
Preseason Clemson. Number one. Clemson will be preseason Clemson number one.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence is coming back.
Trevor Lawrence coming back.
Right.
The running back's coming back.
The wide receiver's coming back. That kid's nasty.
Who will be the first team other than Clemson or Alabama to win that championship?
Oklahoma.
That's you go on record, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good guess. Oklahoma.
But you just said they're starving for, they're looking for the next offensive genius in his 30s, and obviously Lincoln Riley fits in that category. So he'll be lured away by a pro team, I think, because he doesn't like recruiting.
Before he wins it, but so you're saying before Oklahoma wins it?
Yes.
He'll be gone. So who does that leave?
Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Michigan.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Notre Dame's going to be.
They're saying Georgia is going to be. Georgia's going to be.
They are is to go on undefeated and getting their ass spanked again in the Final Four.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They might get lucky one year, though.
Yeah, they might score a touchdown when it counts.
Notre Dame is the Duke of college football. Hell, they
no, they're not.
They look good in They look good in regular season, but when it gets down to it, they lay an egg. They lay an egg. So we'll see what happens. All right, other news, other football news. So how many of y'all have heard of this NCAA transfer portal? You heard of it? Yeah. Have you been hearing this? So check this out. The NCAA this year instituted a new rule allowing D1 athletes to add their names to a transfer portal without permission from the program that they were currently at. Because in the past, these players would have to ask for transfers or to be released, and the colleges could say, "Nah, we're not going to release you."
Right.
So now they can just simply put their name in the database, and as soon as it's just like Craigslist, dude. So now you put your name in the damn database, and as soon as they can go out each day and look, and the coach can say, "Hell, Jalen Hurts put his name in the transfer portal."
Mm-hmm.
And
you can start recruiting.
And now you can start recruiting.
But Jalen Hurts graduated, so he's eligible.
Well, he's eligible immediately.
Yeah.
As is Kelly Bryant from Clemson. Mm-hmm. Clemson, he put his name in the portal earlier. Jalen Hurts put his name in the portal earlier. And Tate Martell from Ohio State, which we talked about last week, the spoiled little brat, who was upset because Justin Fields was going transferring from Georgia to Ohio State, put his name in the portal this week as well. So the portal has become the Craigslist of college football. So,
that's scary.
But, you know, it's kind of cool.
I like
because
it.
Because it's kind of a jerk move. If a kid's not getting playing time or the kid just doesn't get along with the coach, in the past, the coach could have blackballed you.
Or it's not even that coach. That your coach
or
gets
your
fired.
Or your coach left. That's right. And got
that,
fired
and that's
left.
What, it is, you know, obviously, you are signed a contract with the university, but it still comes down to that relationship you have with that coach.
That's exactly right.
Or he gets promoted and goes to a better program.
Yeah.
Because he's so good.
Or he gets fired for having to lose a record after 5 years, goes and becomes an offensive coordinator for about 2 weeks, and then gets a head coaching job in the NFL. The life of Cliff Kingsbury. And all the women think he's good looking too. Damn, Cliff.
They were saying how this is the quarterbacks really are kind of in the catbird seat in NCAA. So it's going to, how is that going to pose for backup quarterbacks for Division I major college programs?
Yeah.
They're going to lose a lot of backup quarterbacks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you get one injury, you're done.
If you go to a school and you don't play, then hell, I'm just going to put myself in a portal and be teleported somewhere else, I guess.
Why not?
So,
but they're still not going to release you. You have to sit out a year. But that's okay. You still get five to play four.
That's right. That's right.
Or sometimes six.
Right.
Like Ryan Finley.
Medical red shirt.
Yeah, state.
Eric with Ohio State.
All right.
Eight.
College basketball. Let's just get right. Let's hop right into this college basketball shit. And let's talk Carolina basketball and the tale of 5 days. Big road game Tuesday night. I was there with my buddies here. Hills came out. And you got to admit, we punched State in the mouth. Then State came back. Dude, we punched you in the mouth.
I think we punched ourselves.
It was 13 to nothing. Before you
blinked
an eye,
we punched ourselves in the mouth. We punched ourselves in the mouth.
Okay, well, that's your being stupid if you punched yourself in the mouth.
I agree.
So regardless, you had a bloody lip because either us or you punched yourself in the mouth. But then you battled back. I'm giving you props here.
Okay.
And we held off for a 90-82 win, PNC Arena. Fast forward 5 days. Got a lot of momentum going into our home opener. Mm. Home opener.
The ACC
home opener. Versus Louisville, who just came off an overtime loss at Pittsburgh earlier that week, who Pittsburgh is legitimately the worst team in the ACC. Okay? Plain and simple, Carolina laid an egg. Lost by 21. We were outplayed. We laid an egg. And I don't blame anyone, and I'm expecting some great conversation here.
It was glorious.
Don't blame anyone except Roy Williams. Because he didn't have his team ready to play. As I said before, and I'll repeat it, it's time for a change in Chapel Hill. Wow. We're losing top recruits. We're losing top recruits, and we can go through them. We're getting some good recruits. We're losing top recruits. There's a lack of urgency. We don't play with a lack of urgency unless we're down by 15 or 20 points. And then it's like, oh, shit, let's start playing. We're not – the head coach has nothing to do except get the team. He has an assistant coach that scouts the other team's offense, assistant coach that scouts the other team's defense, brings them together, figures it out. You have to get these mental midgets who are 18, 19, 20 years old ready to play basketball game in and game out, and Roy Williams is not doing it. Any discussion, Trevor?
What's he doing wrong?
He's not getting ready to play, man.
How did he get him ready on Tuesday night but not Saturday?
I don't know.
Because they're 18-year-old kids.
Because they're 18-year-old kids. Different. Because they're 18-year-old kids. An 18-year-old kid, you have to stay on an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid's ass. Look, I know this. I can tell you this because my son's up there. Tuesday night was the night before, the last night before. They started classes Wednesday. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Wednesday's a different story.
Why is that bad for Carolina?
Yeah, I know. Supposedly, the kids are going to class on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They're adding practice back into this thing of going to class and potential study hall if they're going to class. And so, yeah. So they're, you know, the dynamics have changed. He's got to know this. He's got to know that Tuesday, getting them pumped for Tuesday night and getting them pumped for Saturday night is a little different because of the state of mind that these kids are in.
We don't know that he wasn't getting them pumped up.
Well,
you know, we're not in that locker room. You know, with them.
They go down. Louisville hits. Louisville was unconscious the first half. You were sitting there with me watching the game.
I know.
And they were unconscious the first half, shooting threes. Okay, by the time one guy hits two or three threes or whatever, you know, has Roy Williams ever ran a defense besides man-to-man or zone?
But now Carolina's never done.
What now?
What else is there?
A freaking boxing one, a triangle two, a jump defense.
Carolina's never been accused of being a great defensive team anyway. They have to outscore people.
That's right.
They're
rebuilding. If you don't know, this is a rebuilding year.
Oh my! It's always
They walked out on the floor
2 years ago.
They walked out on the floor, got beat to the ball, played horrible defense as usual. I guess they just missed shots. They had turnovers. It's just, man, they just come out, and it's very disheartening as a lifelong Carolina fan to watch a team go out there, and you've got Nazir Little, you've got Kobe White, both of McDonald's All-Americans. You've got Cam Johnson, who transferred in, who's leading the league in three-point shooting. You've got the damn Great White Hope, Luke May, who's turned himself in from a first-round tight end
preseason
All-American. You know, you've got all these players that have just a ton of potential, and one night they come out and they play like hell, and they beat Gonzaga, number two, three team in the country, at home, and then they come out and they lay a freaking egg against Louisville.
They don't have a dominant big man. Nazir Little can't play team basketball. I don't know if you've watched. He has no idea what's going on.
Oh, I've watched it.
Kobe White wasn't making any shots. Cam Johnson wasn't making any shots.
Do you think we have better talent than Louisville Saturday? Louisville was predicted to finish 12th in the ACC. Yeah,
we had better talent, but the ball didn't go in the basket for us that day. It's one game.
Well, that's four we've lost, and two of them have been blowouts. To Michigan, who's number two team in the country, okay, I'll give you that. And to Louisville, who got beat at Pitt on the road. Oh, and Louisville was on the road. Got beat at Pitt to us, and Pitt is the worst team in the ACC.
And the ACC is strong, but now you have to win your home games.
You've got
to
win your home games.
Road wins are going to be rare.
You've got to win your home games. So we can talk about this all night.
Yeah.
All right. Then we go to the opposite spectrum. McDuke, Cam Reddish, hits a three at the end of the game to defeat Florida State. And despite my new name for him is Prince Zion, despite Prince Zion sitting out the second half.
King Zion soon.
Yeah, pink eye Zion, right? So this is interesting. McDuke was actually trailing by three at the half with Prince Zion playing. They actually were down by three. He got hurt with 30 seconds left in the first half. At the time, he had 11 points, 8 rebounds. Oh, and he did have 3 turnovers. But it seemed like Duke played better in the second half without him. RJ Barrett went crazy. He ended up having 32.
Yeah. He's not bad.
He's not bad. And I think he really established if people just remove the dunks, the 360 dunks, remove the fact that the kid just bullies over everybody while eating donuts out on the basketball court, if people really started watch with unbiased eyes.
Wow.
You
just said that.
RJ Barrett is a hell of a player, and he's going to be a better player in the NBA than Zion Williamson.
So are the Titans a better team without Gary Bertier?
I don't get it.
Remember the Titans.
Oh, remember Titans.
Nazir Little and Zion Williams would be great NBA players.
Good question.
For the sheer fact that it's a one-on-one game. Right. The NBA is a one-on-one game. They're going to do great on that
one. And the guy that hit the three, Reddish, at the end, he was wide open. Yeah. I think you and I could hit that shot
about 10 times. Well, he had hit several. I mean, that wasn't his first. I mean, he had four or five threes in the game before that. So, anyway. So, even though the reports are that his eye injury is cleared up and he'll be back to play tomorrow night versus Syracuse. They play Syracuse tomorrow night at home.
Nope.
He had double vision and he couldn't until sometime later that night or maybe been this morning. Double vision.
The eye was like a professional poke.
Yeah. So should Prince Zion sit out the rest of the year to avoid potential eye injury?
Sure he should.
I said it from the beginning. He shouldn't even play. He should have went overseas, signed a $2 million contract to ensure his future.
Go live in that bubble.
Yeah.
Go eat pasta in Italy.
Sure. Make $2 million and wait for the draft. There's no reason for him to play college basketball.
I mean, I think every college or pro player should not ever play. I mean, every college basketball and football player should never play again. That way they don't get hurt.
That way they don't get hurt until they get to the pros and get paid.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So y'all want to talk about any of the other games? Pitt State. Y'all were at the Pitt State game.
Pitt really won most of the game, but I tell you, NC State, we just got something about this team, this attitude, and this edge that our coach gives us.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
I think we can be very dangerous.
You're losing the Pitt the whole time.
How about this, Steve Goodson?
I 100%
would
agree.
Would you hire Kevin Keats
to take Roy Williams' spot any freaking day of the week, dude?
I mean, this look at his shoes, man.
I got to agree with that.
Look, dude, I'm just telling you, Keats,
in terms of the future,
it's hard when you talk to Kevin Keats. I'm not a State fan. I've met him twice. I met him once with you guys. I met him about back in November with a buddy of mine, Trey Jones, a good kid from White Oak here that went to NC State, and he did some stats or something with NC State basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually had the opportunity to meet Derek Wittenberg, who's a great guy, and met Coach Keats at the same time. He remembered when that time last year when we saw him. And, dude, you can't talk to him and not get – somewhat motivated about what's going on at NC State and basketball.
I thought you were pulling for NC State for a little bit of that game.
What, the Carolina State game? No, don't get carried away. But I will pull for NC State in every other game that they play this year, except against Carolina.
Well, let me ask this. So a program like Carolina, if and when Roy decides to retire, is it possible for them to hire a coach outside of the UNC?
They will not the first hire.
Brad Stevens.
But now I've met Kevin Keats about five or six times, and he's really dynamic every time I've met him. And I was actually watching a high school game with Roy Williams. I sat as close as you and me, and he was not dynamic at all. He was almost a little aloof.
Who,
you know.
Roy Williams?
Yes.
Huckleberry Hound?
At Kinston. I went to a Kinston game.
Brandon Ingram.
No, before that, no.
Bullock.
Reggie had already committed. And so I was sitting with the coach's wife and Huckleberry Hound, and he was pretty aloof, actually.
Yeah.
So. I mentioned about a play he did when he was at Kansas, and he had, like, I just could care less, you know.
Everybody doesn't remember.
All right, let's move on. Stud and dud of the week. Who wants to start? You got a stud of the week, Andy?
Let come back to me.
All right, Bob, stud of the week.
Trevor Lawrence, man. That kid is unbelievable. Could be a once-a-generation quarterback.
Stud of the week?
Dabo.
Dabo. Nick, you got stud of the week?
Nice.
Trevor Lawrence and Dabo.
Dabo.
I think it's Clemson football. I think they're proving themselves to be better than Alabama.
Man. My stud of the week.
I do.
Dabo Sweeney, head coach Clemson.
Yep.
Britt Venable, defensive coordinator Clemson. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback Clemson, 347, 3 TDs. Justin Ross, wide receiver Clemson, 6 catches, 153.
Freshman.
Travis Etienne, running back Clemson, 3 TDs. That pretty much sums it up right there.
Clemson football. I agree.
Clemson football. Dud of the week.
Hold on.
Oh,
Andy Stud.
You got Stud.
I'll take one of the seven guys you just
said. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You want to start with Dud or you want to go?
Dud of the week was San Diego's head coach. I watched that game, and it was embarrassing how bad they were outcoached. Primarily when they had the ball, whatever New England was doing on defense, that guy had zero answer for. Every play, Phillip Rivers, you guys can talk bad about Phillip Rivers or good. But he didn't have a rock star game, but he had zero shot in that pocket the entire game.
Good point. Nick, dud of the week.
Probably Bob Bills for scratching on the cue ball last night in the eight ball about six times.
Bob, would you like to respond to that dud of the week?
Well, since I can't say myself, the dud of the week was going to be Roy Williams, but I have to give it to my man Steve Goodson tonight for calling Jason the Morton boy.
So. I'll accept that. I'll accept that.
Thank you.
Dud of the week.
Nick Saban got Nick Saban.
Yeah.
You're right.
What happened to him? He made a lot of questionable calls, went forward on fourth down how many times? Two or three?
The fake field goal was horrible.
I don't think that was his call, though. I think that was the special teams.
He was surprised.
He was surprised. I mean,
actually, yeah, because the holder looked over at the bench right before that.
Like, are we really doing
this? Are we really going to do this? You know, and the crazy thing about that call is,
call me twice if this is a joke.
Hey, please, call me crazy, but any play that you have the kicker as your lead blocker, you know you're in trouble. Dud of the week.
Man, it's got to be Carolina for the sheer fact. I mean, you win a big game at State. It's a pick 'em game.
It's a big game.
It is. It's a big game for this team this year. Yeah, 12-15. Yeah. Road win the ACC.
That was a big road win.
Yeah. And that's a huge game. And then you
win against State on Tuesday.
You just fall apart on Saturday. And it's not like you just fell apart like a little bit and Louisville played well. You just sucked.
Yeah, you sucked the deck.
I mean, you suck.
Who's your dud of the week?
Wouldn't you guys want a coach that comes to your school and wins a championship after 2 years? A national championship?
Sure, absolutely. Brad Stevens will do it his first year.
But how many McDonald's All-Americans does State have?
Yeah.
Zero.
There's
zero.
A reason why.
Who's your dud of the week? You haven't.
Everyone just said Keats over Roy Williams.
Oh, everyone has said.
Everyone
okay,
just
someone
said Keats over Roy Williams.
All right, my dud of the week. My dud of the week. This one was hard. Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck. Nah, it's pretty damn easy. Hmm. Roy Williams. Head coach. Head coach. North Carolina. Roy.
I retract my dud of the week then.
Roy. Roy, you can't shoot the ball for him. Roy, you can't rebound for him. Roy, you can't play defense for him. But Roy, you can get your team mentally prepared. Home ACC opener, and your team suffers its worst loss under you since you became the head coach. 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. They're mental midgets. You have coaches that do the scouting, offense and defense. Your sole job, dude, your sole job is to get these kids mentally prepared. And Saturday, you failed. My only thought after that is, bring on Brad Stevens.
It's not a real thing.
Did you really say that? That's a new segment. Did you really say that? We never really got into the game. I'd like to give you a brilliant answer as to why, but I can't give you that brilliant answer. Guess who said that?
Roy Williams.
Roy Williams, Huckleberry Hound, head coach, North Carolina basketball.
Sweet tea drinking.
Roy, I can give you a simple but brilliant answer. Look in the mirror. That's why. Rapid fire. Here we go.
Wait a second, before we start, Trevor was trying to compare Roy Williams to Keats. And 15 years ago, I think you're right. When Keats was 20 years old and Roy Williams was 50, I think Rose is a better coach. But today, the next 5 years, everybody in the country would take Keats over Roy Williams for the next 5 years.
Are those Keats recruits that he's playing with right now? Did he recruit
all the more reason?
Somewhat.
Right. I think part of them, man.
Roy Williams won a national championship without his recruits.
You can't really use that argument in the sense that he took UNCW basketball from being a joke to actually being somewhat legit.
They were good in 2001.
After you gave him time to recruit.
Let's ask, how about this? Did Roy take Carolina from the doldrums to the national championship? I mean, Mark Godfrey's year, man, his last year, they didn't make the damn tournament.
Yeah.
I mean.
Neither did Carolina.
Because he lost
Bobby Lutz the year before, too. Yeah. The real coach, Bobby Lutz, left already.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Roy Williams took a team in 2 years, won national championship. Kevin Keats better win this year, be a second.
All right, so let's just say
I'm not saying he's better in his prime. I'm saying right now, the next 5 years.
Did Roy inherit any more talent than Kevin Keats did?
Of course, unequivocally.
Not even close.
All right, this debate can go on forever, and it will, actually, over the next couple of weeks. So I'm just going to go around the horn here, rapid fire, because we're at 58 minutes. Rapid fire, Andy, yes or no? Horse racing trainer. Cool job, yes or no?
Heck yeah.
Bob, would you rather go to the Kentucky Derby or the Super Bowl?
Mm. Mm. I've been to the Derby, so Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Trevor, yes or no? Yes or no, Trevor? We should all get behind our friend Nick Kraft, a.k.a. Douglas Snodgrass, and promote the crap out of him on social media for his love affair of driving down the road in his pickup truck and shooting video of the radio that's playing his favorite country artist of the week. So Nick can be the next big YouTube star, and we recognize his birthday, which was actually this past Tuesday. Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely yes. I love when you shoot videos, Snapchat video. Oh, yeah. This dude's bad. I'm going Friday to see him. Here we go.
Green, Greensboro. Let's do it.
Bobby, this is only fitting that you get this question. Okay. More impressive, the 73 points Wilt scored on his on this day or his post-game performance?
No comment. Both very impressive.
Jason, out of the NBA's top 10 single-game scoring performances, how many of those games belong to Wilt Chamberlain? Out of the top 10, just take a guess. Because you might get
4.
That's a close guess. 6. Yeah. Shoot. Nick, sorry for this question. Can you name any of the other players on the list in the top 10?
Top 10 what?
All time, the single game scoring leaders.
Give you a hint. You were in one of them's high school gym yesterday.
Michael Jordan does not have a top 10. Is not in the top 10. He is tied. Kobe Bryant's 1 at 81. He's second. 81. Third, NC State player, former NC State player.
David Thompson
had 73.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. Elgin Baylor, former Laker, had 71. The admiral. One of those military names. Yeah. The admiral.
David Robinson
had 71. And I could let. And we could sit here for another. Yeah, he had
35
71.
Dunks that day.
Yeah. And we could sit here. We could sit here until I ran out of computer space, and no one would ever get the last one. Phoenix Suns current player for the Phoenix Suns. Y'all playing
Sean Marion? TJ Warren?
Devin Booker.
What, 2 years ago?
Yeah, happened 2 years ago. Because he got his last one. They fed him the ball, I think, right at the end to get him a basket or something like that.
And you know what Wilt Chamberlain's teammate said to him the night he scored 100?
What?
Throw me the ball, I'm open.
All right, Andy.
3 for me.
All right, Andy. 22.9 points, 5.7 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 41% shooting. Good or great stats for an NBA player? Are those good stats or okay stats or what?
I'm sure you would take him on your team, sure.
Whose stats were those his for 2 years when he came out of retirement?
Are we going to go Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan for the Wizards. 22. That was he went 22.9, 5.7.
I'm on fire on this.
5.2.
41% field percent, though. That's kind of weak.
Bob, Big or Doug this weekend? Andrew Luck or Phillip Rivers? Big or Doug?
Phillip Rivers.
Man. Trevor, Big or Doug? Cowboys defense or Chargers defense?
Chargers.
Yes or no, Bobby? Does Jason Garrett deserve a contract extension?
No.
Yes or no, Jason? Does Cliff Kingsbury deserve to be a head coach in the NFL?
No. Not even an OC.
Yes or no? Yes or no, Nick? Is this the year that Andy Reid doesn't choke and wins the Super Bowl?
Wow.
Maybe.
Andy. Which do you think Matt Cross would have been more disappointed in? Finishing second to Bobby Mills in the Fantasy Football League or Hungry Howie's finishing second in the Two Men the Six Pack Listener Appreciation Award for Best Pizza?
I'm going to go with the latter. Man. I saw how he felt about receiving the second place trophy from Bobby the other night.
That's like having a cold and taking a shot of malaria.
Good point. Bob, who wins the college football national championship next year? Clemson, Alabama, or other?
Clemson.
Ooh, Trevor, yes or no? Would you be upset if the national championship game next year was Clemson versus Alabama again?
No.
No.
Two best teams.
Bobby, yes or no? Have you ever, in the history of college basketball, seen a team that is more inconsistent than North Carolina? Yes or no?
Yes.
Ever?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jason, yes or no? If Brad Stevens was coaching UNC yesterday, do you think they would have lost by 21 at home?
Would have won by 20.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Nick, true or false? Brad Stevens, greater than Roy Williams.
False.
Oh, smart man.
Andy.
Wow.
Actually, this is for everyone.
He doesn't watch basketball, by the way.
So here we go. We're going to compare Prince Zion to the following players, and you tell me if you think he will be better than, the same as or not as good as them during his NBA career?
NBA career.
Okay. NBA career. Kevin Durant. As good as, not as good as, or better than? Huh?
Nowhere near.
Nowhere near. Steph Curry.
Not even close.
LeBron James.
Probably better than LeBron.
The Greek freak.
He's going to be better than the Greek freak.
Russell Westbrook.
Not close.
James Harden.
Trevor Harden, maybe.
Yeah.
James Harden. No.
Definitely not.
Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tim Duncan.
No.
Actually, I think he's almost exactly Blake Griffin.
I do too. I agree with you. Charles Barkley.
He could be better than Charles.
Shoot.
Wow. He could rebound better.
Karl Malone.
He's already halfway there. More athletic.
Yes, I think Zion has a chance to win a championship. Karl never did.
Elton Brand.
Easily.
Grant Hill.
Definitely. He won't be as injured as much.
Oh, so you're saying no, he won't be as good. Okay.
That's a tough one.
Kyrie Irving.
Definitely not.
Christian Laettner.
Yeah. Better. Yeah.
Jabari Parker.
Definitely.
Better NBA career. RJ Barrett or Prince Zion Williams?
I think Zion, because I know Zion's not going to get hurt.
It's a one-on-one game.
There we have it.
He got hurt the other night.
He got hurt the other day. He got poked into the damn eye.
He's protecting himself.
There we have it, folks. Remember, this week, favorite boneless wings in the county, in the city. We got some contenders, Hooters. We got Hungry Howie's. Who else has boneless wings?
Buffalo Ducks. Wild Wings.
Angry Ginger.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Angry Ginger.
They got boneless?
Wing Zone.
Wing Zone.
Little Caesars.
Little Caesars.
Circle K.
Circle K. The Circle K. And then the Potty Green and 17.
That is the place. I'm telling you. Walmart.
All right, again, thank you, Twin Peaks, and thank you
for
Sports Carolina Monthly.com. Over and out. Guys, have a great night. Thanks.